All right, and we're back. My apologies. Something happened to my phone or Ray's phone or technology these days. I mean, there are fucking balloons in the sky, so who knows what's going on today.
You're a lying bloody cow. It's literally the next fucking day. We didn't pick up right. You said fuck it. We'll just do two episodes, two parts, whatever the fuck. So no intro. We're just going to hit the ground running.
I got something to admit to you real quick, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So I've been trying to get my stupid Facebook account after they said they reinstated it, right? And it's just been saying disabled, so I can't contact them or like do the little help center bullshit or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, cool, whatever. And I forgot, like, I want to say back, I think like it was maybe 2016, 2017, one of those two. I had created like a backup account that I never used, right? But it was the same phone number and the same email address or whatever, right? So I was like, well, fuck it, mm-hmm. let me see if I can go ahead and, log on there and try to create an ad or whatever, and then like, you know, get like support or whatever, right? So like I'm having to review that shit or whatever. And lo and behold, guess who popped up under my recommended?
I'm scared to ask who?
Daniel. So I ended up reaching out to him. I was like, because his, you know, his birthday was just a couple weeks ago. Hold up.
Wait, hold on. How long ago?
Like, what do you mean? Like, when I messaged him?
Yeah.
A couple hours ago.
Oh, okay, bro. I was about to say, you've been sitting on this secret for how long?
No. Because, like, you know, for me, it was just more like, I just saw him, and I was like, okay, you know, I was like, look, at the end of the day, you know, we haven't spoken, really. We've been broken up for, you know, almost 7 years now and shit. And I was like, you know, I just want to reach out to him, and because I clicked on his profile, you know, and I looked at him, and I was just like, man, you know, this is the part that bothers me the most about when I see his photos. It's mm-hmm. not that, you know, the relationship didn't work out or anything like that. It's just the fact of the matter that he is probably the only ex that will still have a piece of my heart, you know?
The one that got away.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so, and I'll literally just read you the message and shit. Like, whether he ever sees it or not or blocks me immediately after or whatever, I was like, you know, whatever.
Dude, if after all this fucking time he blocks you, like, he could at least give it a thumbs up or a heart and be like, okay. Or like, thanks, bye.
No, you know, so I just kind of said, you know, I just said, hey, Daniel, I said, hope you've been doing well and happy belated birthday. I said, my old account got hacked and you popped up on my recommended. I said, 34 looks good on you, by the way. I said, before we even know it, I said, we'll have the same amount of gray, you know? And I just sent him a photo of my gray because, you know, I noticed his photos that he had showed a lot more predominant gray, right? So I was like, you know what? But, you know, it's so crazy. He's the only ex that literally
would start. I just say, like, you literally didn't even send, like, a message. You sent a pic. You came on real strong.
No, I mean, like,
he still gets you frazzled. Even after all this time, you get nervous and you get frazzled and you just get all warm and fuzzy.
You know, it's a very complicated situation for me emotionally because, like, I love the life that I
Ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention and please take notes because this is what Aquariuses can do to you. If you fuck around, you will find out with an Aquarius how they will imprint on you. And I'm not talking about Twilight imprinting. I'm talking about a permanent stain that you cannot out on your soul. You have to be very careful with what kind of Aquariuses you get with. I'm not trying to bash Daniel. I'm not trying to talk shit. But what I'm saying is that this man literally left this mark on Gio that he'll forever feel like he may not get over to some degree, right? I feel like you're mostly over it, but it stings a little. You know what I mean?
You know, it's what's crazy is that because of my mind and the way that things work out, like I will literally go into these theories and stuff, like not theories, but like these thoughts, right? I'm just like, why out of all this length of time so far, you know, why is it this one person who still phases me? And I don't even live in the same state with him anymore, you know? But it's just, I think to a degree, when people sit there and say, like, describe the perfect one, describe the one that you would just give up all the bullshit for, he is forever going to be that one. And it doesn't take away from Zachary. It doesn't. But it's just they're two different people. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I wish that there was a way that we could come back around. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I kid you not, like, I'm not swear this on my mama's life. If there was an idealistic poly third, he would be it. Like, because I...
Oh, God.
I know.
And
like,
the plot thickens.
No. I mean, you know, but again, at the end of the day and stuff, I mean, I hope he's still doing well. I mean, what's funny is that, like, in one of his photos, he looked a little bit, you know, thicker. and like in a good way, you know. And I just looked at him and I was like, wow, this is just so crazy when you think about when we were 25, 26, you know, now we're 33, 34. And it's just a wild concept that time just is. Time is just time, you know. Time don't give a fuck, you know. Like it'll literally start to show itself on you. But no, that was just the one thing and stuff. And yeah, like it's. Yeah.
Are you in your feels a little now?
I was. I mean, I still am. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like a part of me wants to like. I mean, not a part of me like wants to, but a part of me is just like it has a heart from breaking the like not the reality, but it's just like. You know, if I had the Flash's power and I could go back and change things, what would I change? If I would change things, you know?
But there's nothing you could change because we've kind of discussed this, right? Oh, because he's literally probably, I'm monogamous, right? Like I'm I am monogamous, but I've never met somebody like him where he probably has one level up on me when it comes to monogamy.
Well, you know what? There's something that I will tell you that just kind of caught me off a little bit, like off of guard a little bit, that I won't say anything about it. I'll just, because I don't want to, like, if for some reason this is business that's, you know, a little personal, I don't want to put it out there. But yeah, like, I mean, from what it looks like, he's still single and stuff. And this is just what's like, I guess, it just, I play that theory, like that little fan theory in my mind of like, okay, cool. Like, you know, if I could have two of me, you know, like who would be? Because I mean, don't get me wrong.
You're variant.
You know, yeah. Like,
it's but just... in this world, you don't end up with him. But in the other world, you do. Yeah, your variant ends up with him. Oh, you know what? Let's go to the multiverse. I was
right. Loki, fuck you. No, but like, it just got me to thinking and stuff because I know they talked about that. We're gonna talk about the topics and stuff like that. Like, you know. And I kind of felt like that kind of, to a degree, could be a spoken or unspoken rule, so to speak, or just an unspoken issue or a spoken issue, whatever you want to call it, whatever, right? But no, I will have to say this, like, and I guess it just kind of just yearns. That man is still fucking beautiful. I swear to God, I don't give a fuck if this man was
Listen, most Aquarius men are. They're like Medusa.
No, let me just... I mean, his eyes, I swear to God, it's...
Don't look at me too long, because I'll burn your ass up. Turn your ass to stone.
I'm just going to send you a photo right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. We're going to gush over him. We'll do that later. Well, anyways, I think that this is a good catalyst to go into, like, one of the topics that I kind of wanted to speak about was, like, you know, you and Zach, right? Yeah. So you guys are so comfortable in your relationship. You trust each other so much. And, of course, you've had years to do this. Like... he's not going to mind that you reached out to him, right? So for y'all, trust looks a little different. It's defined a little different, right? Mm-hmm. So I think for me, trust as a monogamous man, so if I was with you, if I was Zach in this scenario, right, and I found that out, that would be a little bit like a gut punch. I'm going to say for me, like a breach of trust. I'm not going to say cheating. I feel like cheating is more of an act, right? Like a physical act. Whereas like flirting and salacious speaking is for me a breach of trust, an emotional affair, if you will. I mean, cheating is still cheating, but I do think that as I get older, there's levels to this, right?
Yeah.
So for me, that would be something where it's like, I feel like that's not okay. Whereas you're going to tell Zach about it and it's going to be very like, oh, okay, well, how did that go? You know? And I love that because it's just like, I mean, I don't love that for me, but I love that for y'all, that where it's just very casual conversation. I love that for me. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, never for me. Could never fucking be. But I think there's some beauty in that because trust looks different for everyone, depending on where you're at in your relationship.
Well, I also do feel that trust is supposed to be different, but still, it doesn't necessarily have to necessarily be so different. It's just that, like, again, most people always worry about what is going to be the breach of trust and how you're going to be able to recover from that, right? I think a lot of people worry about, because remember I told you, like, the one thing that I remember that Daniel told me in person was like, you made my worst fear come to life. And that is the one thing that, like, it's burned.
No,
it's,
that's real. Oh, embedded. That's so scared. Yeah.
And it I'm not gonna lie to you, like,
you think about that a lot, right? Like, well, not think about it a lot, but when you go back to y'all and where,
oh yeah,
you guys broke.
Because don't get me wrong, like this also kind of led me to the question, like, What happens, again, I'm just saying this, like, what happens if there is a possibility, but that basically means that I have to choose, you know? And it's just so hard because, like, this is the reason why I think that, like, I kind of appreciate more of the polyishness of a relationship, because I think a lot of people feel that they have to pick one or the other, right? And it's because I think a lot of people pick one because it's somehow more soothing to a burn or a blow. But the reality is that I don't think it's supposed to be that complicated, but we make shit so complicated, even way more than we have to, right? Yeah. But you can't also change someone's default setting. You see what I'm saying? Like, some people are just, like, strictly programmed because of their upbringings or because of their beliefs or whatever. And I don't know. Like, it's just, like, if I could split me and I could have another chance with them, I would shoot my shot, you know? But by still maintaining with Zach, but then most people are going to hear that, like, oh, you're just selfish, you're just greedy, you just want whatever. No, but the thing about those, if I could do that to be able to love two people and grow something with them, why wouldn't I want to do that? You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm not taking from them. I'm trying to add to them.
No, I see what you're saying. I just think, like, for example, me and Chris went through a situation when I was with him, like, last weekend, and he said something. He's like, babe, but I'm not going anywhere. And for me, like, when he said that, I was like, it's not about you going anywhere. It's not about, like, you losing. What scares me in a relationship the most, the biggest thing, was secrets. Like, I like transparency. I like communication. I like openness, because my fear is that one day I open his phone or something happens and I see something where he's like, I'm still in love with you. Bro, literally my fucking heart would drop, because I would feel like this entire fucking thing is a fucking scam. Like, and I'm not saying that's the case with you and Daniel, but like the capacity of my mind and heart could never handle something like that. That's too heavy for me, because I'll always be like, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. His heart's always going to be somewhere else. Whereas you look at it as like, oh, that's from my past. That's something that's always kind of like, it's, you know, it's, I'm marked sort of, right? It's like a blemish. It's like a pimple, a scar, you know, something that never went away. And you kind of look at it and you think of it like, oh, you know, my little blemish. And this is the history we have. You know, you kind of touch it and get like this, you know, you transport back to the past, right? And it's nothing more than that. But then you have the things of what you have, the thoughts of what if, or, you know, whatever. And that scares me. The what ifs scare me. The mind scares me. My mind scares me, because I know where my mind can go. I can only imagine where someone who's in your situation mind can go. But Zach, the dynamic of what y'all have is so beautiful. And not because like the way y'all think, the process of it, but it's your lifestyle. So y'all are basically equipped and fit to do this. I'm not. That's why I can never dabble in that. Like, that's why I could never, I don't know. That scares me. The trust is such an important thing for me, because it's a big three for me. And I need that, because also a lot of my trauma, my relationship trauma, comes from my relationships, my past relationships, and these men and how they've lied. And I'm not going to sit here and act innocent. I've cheated before, but the difference between me and them is I've told them. I'm not scared. Like, I have no fear in my heart. No man's going to put a fear in my heart, especially the man that I'm laying with. Bro, if I did something and I fucked up, I'm going to tell you, especially when it comes to cheating. Now, accountability, that's a little different. I'm still working on that. That looks a little different. But as far as like hurting someone, if I intentionally hurt someone, if I know that I'm going to hurt someone and I still go through with it, I always tell them, like, that same day or the next day, I'm going to tell them within a 24 to 48 hour time span. So, and that's what I like. I like that to be reciprocated. I like honesty. I like transparency. For example, a secret Twitter. Like, if my man has a secret Twitter and I know nothing about it and he's over there, I listen, porn, do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. Like, it's porn. Porn's meant to be a fantasy, right? Have fun. Do whatever you want. But for me, like, I just want to know, like, hey, babe, like, yeah, I do have a Twitter. Okay. You don't have to tell me everything that's on it. But as long as you're not communicating, cheating, exchanging pictures, I don't give a fuck. Jack off. Use it as spank bank material. I don't care. Like, that doesn't faze me. What fazes me is when I don't know. Let me know before I find out. Because if I find out, I'm going to fully investigate. And when I fully investigate and I find something that looks, I will find something that looks, that could compromise or breach our trust. And then we got a fucking problem. But other than that, I don't give a fuck. Go off. Do whatever. Just, and also, please don't be on there jacking off or doing stuff and uploading your shit. That to me is not fucking okay. For me, in my relationship and what it looks like. And you know what? I'm not going to say my relationship. For me, those are my boundaries. Mm-hmm. Those are my boundaries. But if, listen, I'm also not on board with sharing. Like if you see a fine guy and he's a regular guy and he's not like a porn star or an OnlyFans star.
Damn, you share he can't be a porn star? Damn, people got me money too.
No. I'm saying they can't. Who? Oh, not over here. But I say who? Turn into right. Al real quick. But what I'm saying, like, because you know, there's regular guys who have OnlyFans, right? A lot of them do.
Yeah.
And you might follow them, and they may be followers of yours on Instagram. I'm still not fully mature. I don't know what to call it, to be honest, because I don't know if I'm ever going to be there where my boyfriend is on there sharing their material. Like, if I'm being honest, and I'm going to be real fucking honest here, because I'm always honest, I don't want to know about it. If you're doing that, please don't tell me, because if I see that shit, bro, it's up. It is up. I am not that mature. I have not progressed that much in this lifestyle, in this community, where if I'm following somebody and you're following somebody and they have an OnlyFans and you have a private porn Twitter and you're retweeting them, I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know. Just tell me, you know what, babe, I'm on there. I do this. I jack off. Don't give me specifics, though. I don't want to know. I don't even want to fucking see it, because if I see it, I can't get it out of my head. I can't, bro. And then I'm going to have to break up with you. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm telling you, even with Daniel, we've talked about this because he's on another level. He's on another level. Like, I don't want to put his business out there, but he even went as far as trying to indulge you, right? You guys participated. We won't say what. And then he turned around and he said, you pretty much made him. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And I thought that, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to get specific. We don't have to do that because I don't want to like call them out. But what I'm saying is that that's the type of Aquarius where they were trying to people please, and then they turn around and say, oh, but you put a gun to my head and made me do it. That's how I knew he was a toxic Aquarius. I'm not trying to bash or diminish or belittle Daniel in any way, because he's probably in a different place now. But at that time, we were all hella fucking young, because me and him are pretty much close in age. I get it. I understand. Like, you were just trying to please your man, but you didn't have to spin it and make it seem like it was all your fault, because he fucked you up. He fucked you up for a little bit, Gio. Like, he made it seem like you were the devil and you put a gun to his head, or you told him he has to sell his soul or I'm killing all of your family. Like, that's the toxic side of Aquarius. And I'm telling you that too, because I do have that in me. I don't have that layer. There's another layer that I have that I'm currently working on that I didn't know that I was doing. And you know, because we've talked about it, but I recognize it because I know that I could have that in me, where it's like, it's easier for me to play the victim. And listen, the thing about being a victim is everybody can be a victim. You just can't always be the victim. I'm learning that. But that's another conversation for another day. No, so anyways, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like trust is, I like y'all's trust. I really do. I feel like because y'all have such an open line of communication, I'm almost envious of it, but I already know who I am, and I could never be like, hey, Chris, I want to do this, or hey, Chris, we can do this. And it's not because, oh, what people think, or it's not, oh, because of the perception, or, oh, it's going to get back to somebody. I really don't give a fuck what people think. I'm an adult, and I design and live my life the way I want to, both me and my relationship. I don't conform to heteronormities. I conform to my normities. I've taken what I've seen and I adapt it to myself. I mean, and I apply it to myself. Now I am learning and growing and trying to adapt and trying to be more open-minded. That's why old Ray wouldn't have been like, no, you can't have no Twitter. Sorry. You better go to Pornhub. You better ask me to become a porn star and send you some spank bank for later. But I'm growing. I've grown. But I'll tell you this, I ain't never going to get to the point where my man gonna be exchanging pics or doing videos or something like that. Not while he with me. You can do that with everyone else, but you ain't finna do that over here. Nope, 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 no ma'am, no Pam, no ham, no pink lemonade, no shade. Nope, ain't doing it. But yeah, that's what trust looks like for me. And I guess that's what trust looks like for y'all.
You know, I used to always play with this idea, especially with being with Zachary, right? And I don't know if this was like a method of self-sabotage or just more so curiosity. I used to always wonder, like, If somehow I got a vision or somehow I got an inkling or some type of like sign, right? That I wasn't meant to be with Zach, but somebody else would. Sorry, somebody else was. How would I respond to that? Would I gladly just end things and just sit there and say, I can't do this because I'm not meant for you? Or if I would just sit there and try to hold basically on to him until dear life, you know? And yeah. That's like a real question because, like, you have to ask yourself, like, do you trust yourself enough to hope that your relationship is able to be not salvageable, but like if it's able to go through the trials and tribulations of certain instances, right? Because like some people are built for that, and other people are not.
Yeah. Because it's easier to start over than it is to start over with someone else. It's easier to start over with someone new than it is to start over with someone, you know. And I don't know why that is, but it feels and looks different for people.
I don't know either. You know, that's why people used to always sit there and say, oh, you know, that's why people go back to their exes, because it's familiar territory, right? But the reality also is that, like, some people, I don't know, like...
I don't think for you it's easy. I think for you'd rather be like, nope, this is where I'm at with this person. We're going to figure it the fuck out. And that's beautiful. There's so much beauty in that. Because I feel like that's a little bit old school, a little tradition. Because that's the thing about tradition. Whether you like it or not, it sneaks in. I don't care who you are. It's always going to sneak in.
Yeah. And then like I said, for me, it's just, I don't know. It's just because like right now I kind of feel like, I go through
damn, this whole Daniel thing really got you fucked up.
No, it's not like, it's not that. It's just also still fucking gloomy here again, day three.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's just like, I don't know, like, I'm still trying to figure this shit out, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's one of the things that, like, if I could have a sit-down conversation, you know, with him and stuff, and I think that's one of the things that it fucked me up, was that I never really got to, I mean, we circled a couple of conversations so quickly after the breakup that I think it just furthered him away from me, because he just was reminded over and over and over that, like, this person did this, I'm still phased, fuck him, he's a piece of shit, you know? But, like, even, like, you know, my first boyfriend, Brooke, you know, we broke up amicably, you know, we were obviously, like, I want to say, like, I think we're, like, 7 or 8 years apart, so, you know, he's with his partner, I think his name is Adam, you know, they're living off in Fort Worth and stuff, you know, like, I reached out to him, like, dude, shit, like, 2 years ago, you know, just to sit there and revisit certain, you know, things, and then, you know, of course, there's Jafar, you know, we still say hi and bye when we see each other, and we catch up a little bit
the here. The doctor. Is he still single?
Yeah, he's still single, from my understanding. I don't know, I think that man is always meant to be, yeah, I just think that he's meant.
His profession is just never going to allow him to be in a happy, consistent relationship.
I just don't know if he can fully ever give himself in a way that...
Yeah, because he's in a relationship with his profession, which there's nothing wrong with it. But
well, what's funny is that I found out from him, I believe, or somebody else. I'm sorry, actually a friend of ours. He was like, yeah, that I didn't know that Jafar's first love, the one that kind of fucked him up, was actually a meth head. Did not know that. And because, of course, of his profession, he wanted to save him, but he couldn't. So I don't know if that man ever recovered from that. Yeah, I know, right? So for me, I understand that, you know? I totally get it. It's just...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, when Zachary came along, it was just... I don't know. Like, and that's why I think for like, the first couple of months and stuff, I was so worried that this was going to be like my reverse karma. Where I was like, oh, I love him. I'm happy. Blah, blah, blah. You know, 2 years after being single, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, whoosh, carpet gets pulled from my legs, you know?
But I'll tell you this, like, not to bust your bubble or shit on your little memory, but, like, the reason why I feel like and still feel like you and Daniel will never work out, even as a throuple, even if I'm not saying this is happening, but if even for some you and Zach were to break up, you're able to, like, rekindle, it'll never work because, Gio, your mind, the way you're wired for relationships, you're not meant to just be with one person. You are truly, utterly, and honestly someone who can love more than one person. And now, at this point, has to love more than one person. And Daniel's just never going to get on board with that. And I don't think that you could ever... I'm not saying you don't have it in you, but I think there will always be this underlining resentment and yearning if you suppressed it. If you suppressed that, again. Because, yo, let's be real. There was a lot of relationships where you were cheating. You cheated a lot.
No, not really.
Well, I'm sorry. Not cheated. You cheated. I'm so sorry. With Daniel, you cheated. You cheated a lot when Daniel, remember?
Yeah, no, I mean, there was twice. And, I mean, the first time, you know, was just more like just stepping. But this is the thing about it, though, is like, I've never known. Again, like, I know most people are going to be like, oh, well, you know what? You're an adult. You make clear decisions, blah, blah, blah. But people are influenced by their surroundings. And unfortunately, we have people that we have to
look up to. You were young. You were a fucking baby.
I didn't. To be honest, this is what's so, I think, kind of bothersome and shit. And this is why I'm going to also send this message out to certain people. People thought it was somehow easier for me to, like, get into relationships or to, like, swoon people over and stuff like that. Sway people, like, to date me or to, like, hang out with me or whatever, in, like, in the romantic sense. But I was always having to do twice the effort for half the results sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of them, it happened to be individuals that I would catch their attention there momentarily, and then they'd move on to the next person. So I never really had a long period of time where I actually had healthy boundaries, healthy trusts, healthy moments in a relationship, you know?
Until Zach,
Well, yeah, you know, and I feel like that, like, my rough draft or my first attempt, I guess, to see if I could handle this shit was Daniel. Daniel was my first adult real relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, hold on. No. I'm going to take this back. Daniel was my first love as an adult. Zach was my first first healthy relationship with everything that I also wanted, which is the reason why sometimes I'm just like, why do I still kind of feel empty inside a little bit, you know?
But that's your poly side. That's what I'm telling you. Like, and if imagine if you were to get with Daniel, you would always feel that way. It's because you haven't found your third. We've had discussions. When you find your third, or you find your fourth, or you find your fifth, you just have the capacity to do that. You also have the bandwidth to do that. It's who you are. It's just you. It's what you're made of. It's your DNA. Like, so I feel like, and it's not something that's missing. It's always something like, damn, it would be nice. Or damn, you know what? I would like this. Or damn, you know, and that's the part that a lot of gay men don't listen to. Sometimes, I'm sorry. Let me take that back. Hold on. Let me retract that. Men who are truly polyamorous need to listen to that. Now, men who are hoes and who just want to be open and who just want to have fun, just say that. Just say that. If you want to get dick down, because it's more than just about sex. Well, being polyamorous is just more than sex. It is a lifestyle. It is a way of life. It is a third, a true third. Living, breathing, working, cooking, cleaning, being there for them, leaning on each other. Monetarily, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. This is not a hookup. There's a big, big fucking difference.
Well, and that's why I think, like, you know, in regards to, like, the whole, the conversation of trust and stuff like that, is that, you know, I mean, yeah, when Zach gets home, I'm gonna let him know. And I think to a degree, he's still, I think that I've told Zach numerous times where it doesn't worry him, because at the end of the day, he knows I'm with him. I'm coming home to him. And it's not like,
and he knows my motherfucking ass gonna tell your ass you ain't going nowhere because I ain't letting you. I don't give a fuck.
No, but you know what though, and I thought about it, but you know, and you know what's kind of crazy is that for some reason, I think that maybe to a degree, Zach, the way that Zach loves me, he would, if for some reason Daniel reached back out and said, "Hey, blah 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 blah," we start having a conversation. Hey, the next time we see, like, you're in town, hey, let's catch a drink, let's get dinner, let's catch up, blah blah, blah, or whatever, right? He would be okay with that. He knows that I would tell him, there's something there.
He would. And you know what? I wouldn't be okay with it. I'm not okay. I'd be talking shit.
You're right. But you know what, though? Yeah. Like, this is also sometimes, I think, maybe why I kind of wish it would happen is to a degree, I feel like maybe I would get my opportunity to, like, fully let him go. You know?
Yeah. I know for you, it's more about closure or closing that door and just saying, hey, like, I really wanted you to know that at some point, like, or you although know what? This is who I am.
Did you ever see that really movie, wanted it Just to work. John? Did you ever see that movie Just John with Channing Tatum and Amanda Seyfried? Seyfried, whatever her name was?
It's Dear John, not Just
John. Oh, Dear John. I'm sorry, Just John.
I was like, wait, what?
But do you remember that movie? Remember, like, how they loved each other and they had to walk away from each other and she got married to somebody else and then he died and then, like, years later they rekindled?
Yeah.
I worry about something like that. And the only reason why I worry is because, like, you know, I've had, you know, these conversations about, like, when I'm laying next to Zachary at night and he's sleeping next to me, I worry. Like, I worry about when he walks out the door, if this is going to be the last time I'm going to see him, because, you know, society is so crazy these days that people who are driving, people don't care, you know? And I always worry about that. Like, not always, but, like, at least once or twice a week, I worry about that. Because I don't want his safety to ever be jeopardized. But then it's just like...
Yeah, you live in paranoia about that. You say that a lot to me, at least once a week.
Well, it's because, I mean, fuck, if I'm not hearing one gunshot. If I'm listening to one gunshot story, it's another, you know, or a fucking road rage incident.
Where people no, I know, and it's also because of where you're at, Memphis, yeah. and the law of, like, they don't have to have insurance, nor do they need to have a registered vehicle.
Yeah, and it's just so, it's so crazy. Yeah. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I, like, I'm going to keep it real with you, like, I told you when I came here to Memphis, I thought, oh shit, all the problems I'm gonna see and hear are about the white, are like, oh, the white people. No, I'm gonna tell you right now, I really wish that a majority of these incidents that I was talking about involved white people, but it's not. But I also understand to a degree.
Well, I don't know, I'm not there, I can't speak on that. But
I'm talking about even the police reports and stuff that you can see all this shit close by, like if you pull the reports and stuff. But this is one of the reasons why I want to get the fuck out of Memphis. This is never going to be my neighborhood. This is never going to be my home. I mean,
sorry. Well, it's because of the crime, right? Like, if we're getting specific, it's because of the crime, right? Because you feel unsafe?
No, it's not that. I mean, to a degree, yes and no. It's just that, like, I know that a lot of people who live in poverty here are not as reluctant to care about how they come across driving or in person or whatever. They're quick to react, you know what I'm saying? And for some right reasons and some very, very wrong reasons. And I don't have time to fix their shit. And I don't really care about their problems or what they're going through because I'm having to worry about my own shit. And that is unfortunate because I can't do shit to fix what's going on here because, like, this isn't my job. You know what I'm saying? This is, like, the political individuals that are at force. And they don't care. So then it causes the people not to care. And it's like, I don't want to be in a crossfire with that kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be someone's revenge story for the day because they feel like they're politicians or whoever, you know, slighted them and they're not, you know, out there making the money or they're not out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't want to be involved in that. I'd rather them worry about their own shit. And then if that's how they want to live their life, they're fantastic. I don't care. Like, I tell people, respectfully speaking, I don't care about anyone else's life or majority of their dailies like I do my household. Because at the end of the day, I can only control what's going on here. I'm not going to go try to control somebody else's. That's for them to figure that shit out. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, like, per se the crime. It's the individuals.
Mm. No, yeah, you are entitled because you live there. You know. You get a front row view of what happens. You know, I'm not going to take away from your experience or how you feel. You know, I don't want to invalidate that. But yeah, no, you have a right to feel that way. And if that's what you see and that's what you feel, but that's you know, that's real for you. That's your reality. Mm-hmm. But you brought up death. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, kind of that's another thing I wanted to speak on just because, you know, recently with my grandmother, like I said in the last episode, what's going on. Are you scared to die? Are you afraid to die?
You know, there are times where, like, paranoia of death kicks in. Like, where, like, I'm washing my car, I'm at the gym, right? Because, again, you know, i.e. gun stories this, gun stories that, whatever, right? So, like, sometimes mm-hmm. I really worry that, like, someday I'll be, like, washing. Like, yesterday when I was at washing Zachary's car, whatever, right? I was like, man, like, how many times have I been at this car wash where, like, if somebody decided to run their fucking car into me and I wasn't paying attention because I was listening to, like, my podcast or music or whatever, right? Like, damn, like, would I be okay with my life at the moment right now, right? Or whatever choice I decide to make, or what happens if I was driving, all of a sudden a fucking nuclear bomb or something like that went off, or just those really weird instances about, like, how you're going to lose your life, right? Yeah. Sometimes I'm okay with death because I don't have a concept. Sorry, I have the concept to accept that it's inevitable, right? Like, it's kind of like how Drake says, you know, it's the everybody dies, but not everybody lives. And
oh, we're here for a good time or not a long time. Yeah.
Well, no, he also said, he goes, well, the truth is what it is, because everybody dies, but not everybody lives. It's Nicki, A Moment for Life. That was one of his last verses before. But yeah. So I've always kind of held on to that since that song came out about that, because, you know, I mean, I've had a gun pulled out on me. I've had instances where, you know, cops or bounty hunters kicked in the front door. I've had, you know, moments where guns were just laying around. I mean, like, there's so many different, like, almost like a Final Destination moment, right? Like, where there's so many possibilities of death just occurring, but they didn't. So I also worry about, like, how my death is going to be. Like, if I can at least save one person in the process or save a group of people or whatever the case may be, or at least have my death be meaningful, then I guess I'm okay with it, even if I have really no choice with it.
Yeah.
And what about you?
God, this is going to... Please forgive me. I'm scared of a painful death, but what scares me more than death... Oh God, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to be truthful. I'm scared of getting old. Death doesn't really scare me as much, right? Because, like, I started saying, up until like a month or two ago, we're all dying. We're all dying. We live to die. Everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to get their card pulled. It's whenever you're designed to die, right? Whether that's at my age, 35, or at 85, everybody is going to die. That's the reality of it. So death doesn't scare me now as much. It used to scare me a lot more. What scares me is I have this biological, they really don't, but in my head, I've put it in like this clock where it's like, listen, these looks aren't forever. I mean, I don't have like a great fucking body. My body's all right. But like these looks, this skin, this smile, these teeth, you know, these physical features aren't forever. And sometimes I feel like that scares me because I'm running out of time and I'm like, fuck, man. Like, I'm, according to the card reader, I'm supposed to be on my third marriage. I'm going to be getting married 3 times. I ain't even on my first one. Excuse me. So damn, bro. It's my third marriage at like 55, 60. I don't know. So yeah, death doesn't really scare me. Death does scare me when it comes to losing other people. You know, Exhibit A, my grandmother. That scares the shit out of me. Death for me means more of losing someone than actually losing myself to death. That does scare me more than anything, too. More than what I said. So, you know, because I feel like, especially how you die, too. How you die really, it doesn't cement the rest of your life. But it's kind of like that whole, you know, that saying, like, damn, like, they really went out like that. Or life really took them out like that. Like, let's say you've gone your entire life and it's been stellar. It's been great. And you're 75, I don't know, 80. And you're at the grocery store and there's a mass shooting and you die from a bullet in the head. But other than that, you had a great life. Like, what a way to go out. What a way to die. Like that. And so I understand when you say what you said, right? How you want to get out of Memphis because of, you know, what's happening around you and everything and the crime and the individuals and stuff like that. Like, I understand what you mean by that, because you wouldn't want that person who's such a great person, who you love so much, to ever, for it to end like that. Because, listen, these mass shootings, the crime, they're just going up and up and up and up, and you see it everywhere. A mass shooting takes place everywhere. A church, a club, a restaurant. Bro, they're everywhere now. The mall. You know what I mean? Like, it can happen anywhere. So, yeah. Death, for me, I'm more afraid of losing somebody. Like, an icon in my life. And how they go out. That's actually a big one for me. Because, you know, kind of,
oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead,
sorry. No, you know what's funny is, like, Scott, when he passed away, and it's going to be, this year is going to be 3 years, you know? In April, it's going to be 3 years. I don't think I ever really truly recovered from losing what I would call like one out of my two best friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though like him and I, we reverted back to being, you know, we went from like hanging out every single time to like me barely seeing him. Right. And it's funny because they always sit there and say, oh, you know, you better enjoy a person while they're here because you just never know. Yada, yada, yada. Right. That whole cliche type shit. Yeah, and it wasn't until I saw him, like, in the hospital bed, just deteriorating, and just like seeing, like, that is my best friend, but that's my best friend who had, you can just show him physical signs of just drainage. You know what I'm saying? Like, his body was just draining, like his energy, like everything. And I, you know, to a degree, I'm kind of glad maybe that I wasn't supposed to see him on his final days. You know what I'm saying?
Can we? I don't want to take away from the Scott situation, but I would like to spread awareness on this, because I feel like this would be a good thing to address.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to. We don't have to, because I'm literally just throwing this on you. We didn't even talk about this before. Yeah. But would you like to talk about and maybe also bring awareness to why Scott died and maybe people should go and...
We didn't
But...
Yeah. No, but like, yeah, so basically what happened was... Yeah, Scott passed away from anal cancer. It was anal cancer brought on by HPV. What happened was HPV can be resolved from anal sex.
Yes.
You know, basically what happens, you can have anal sex one time in your life, because there was an instance where he was there at the hospital being checked and, you know, of course, confirmed that there was this one older lady who was there, like in her 60s and stuff, and she was like, how is this possible? Like, and they asked her, they said, ma'am, like, have you ever had anal sex before? And she said, yeah. She's like, one time, like, 10 years ago, whatever. And they said, well, man, that's all it took. And it just sucks, because, like, there's a difference between anal cancer and rectal cancer. So yeah. He had anal cancer, which basically he was able to beat it the first time, but it came back the second time with a vengeance a year later.
Yes.
And it sucks because, like, it just, you think you removed it, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, you know, like, it just.
That's why I feel like for gentlemen, you know, however you identify, man, you know, they.
Well, they have the shot them, now. They have the shot now. Like, where you can.
Yes. Please get vaccinated, but also get tested for HPV. Yeah. I'm speaking to the men directly, and however you identify yourself, right? Please get tested, because it is very important, because this is a prime example here. I'm not trying to use or be, you know, just trying to take away from Scott's, but I feel like it is very important, because I didn't know that. I had no idea up until you had shared that with me. And I'm not going to lie, it scared the crap out of me. And it also made me feel like, this is why I, like, haven't done anal up until, like, with, you know, whatever, we're going to talk about that. But that's what I'm saying. Like, this is why I've waited so long, because there was just something in me where I felt like a man just didn't really deserve. And I'm not saying, listen, accidents happen all the time. People do it purposely. Some people, it's done by force. I'm not saying that it's safer to not do it, to stay away from it. What I'm saying is, if you're going to do it, be mindful of what you need to do. Get tested. Be aware. Take the proper steps. I just wanted to use this opportunity to actually bring that up, because I don't think a lot of, well, if you're not as, you know, our age, but I'm speaking to the younger gays, right? The younger gay men, however you identify yourself, again, you know, whatever pronouns you use, you know, please get tested for HPV and get vaccinated if you can as well. Because that's really important, because that's scary. I didn't know Scott well, but he was a great guy. And Scott, he wanted to be loved. He really did. He was looking for love. He really was. True love. He really did.
And, you know, and that's the time that's what sucks about the things about having to confront death as an older individual, especially like when you're your aunts and your uncle's ages and stuff, and you start to comprehend and like really say, oh my God, that's what they meant when they said that in the kitchen, or that's what they meant when they said that out there smoking cigarettes or whatever, right? It really did suck, because like I had no idea how to really kind of comprehend like saying goodbye to somebody and then picking up the pieces after the fact, right? And that's also one of the reasons why, for me, and I'm just only going to speak on me, his death taught me that a lot of people that I knew or knew of or surrounded myself with when I went out or just momentarily said hi and bye or whatever, that they just kept on living, and it wasn't like they knew how to talk about it. They knew how to just ignore the issue and just keep it moving, you know? And for me, I saw that as a big issue, because Scott would have given his shirt, his shoes, his skin to anybody, you know? And he, for the most part, did.
Yeah.
Like, he was there no matter what. Even if you just literally called him at 2:00 in the morning saying you had a tire blowout and he just got home from drinking or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he was there. And it just taught me that, you know what? While everybody's always out here wanting a good time, nobody's here for the tough times.
Mm. Yeah, I remember you went through a lot. We're not going to call anybody out, but you were very enraged. You had some anger issues with a lot of people, and the fake, oh, Scott this, Scott that. I remember.
Oh yeah, no, and
I remember.
Yeah, and to a degree, it still bothers the shit out of me. And I will let you, I mean, the thing about it, though, is like those people who made it very clear and evidential that he was just a passing thought for them, they know to stay the fuck away from me. Yeah. Because I don't have anything nice to say about them. And yeah. to be honest with you, one day I might just sit there and pop the shit out of them. You know? And
here comes Usher and OGO.
No, but it's just because of the fact that, like, I don't take kindly to that. Like, what happens if that was you, bitch? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Please don't jump on that bandwagon. That's not cute. Like, you met me once or twice. We drank once or twice. Don't sit here. You know,
no, like, you know, it was
please don't put me in your bio. Please rest in peace, Ray. Don't do that.
You know, it was what bothered me wasn't the fact that these were just like fucking little, you know, acquaintances of his. These are people who like tried to date him, tried to fuck with him, tried to do all this stuff. And then, like, Scott would drop everything and you know, to go help them or to do just to be there for them when they need it the most. Yeah. And then a lot of these people who just sit there and have the fucking nerve to sit there and friend request me after I'm like unfriended their ass. And then, like, I told them, like, yo, like, I don't fuck with you. Like, you showed me your true colors because he was a lot nicer to y'all than I would have been. But now y'all want to kiki and bring up shit? Like, don't catch me on the wrong day when I'm listening to the right Nicki Minaj song or the Cardi B song or something that's going to get me pumped and I pop the shit out of you and you're like, oh my God, why? Yeah, you know, like, I tell people, like, you have to be very cautious and careful because to a degree, I am my brother's keeper, you know? And, you know, I don't know. Again, I know that he's off soaring or wherever he's at now. He don't give a shit, right? I still do because I still got to see you motherfuckers when I show back up home, you know? And that's why I just ignore them. Keep it moving. Keep it to the left.
Yeah.
But on that note, I hope every one of you motherfuckers catch the numb sugar.
You stupid. Can we give a little sneak peek of your hacker?
You know what? I first got to see if... Because what's wild is that I'm still waiting for this email he says I'm supposed to get.
Yeah.
But he just said, like, you know, it's going to be sent. Just give us some time. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, you got, you know, whatever. But this is what part is. This is the part that just... look at me. I'm repeating myself. This is the part that pisses me off about social media is that y'all want to sit there and charge and say that y'all have all these X amount of people who subscribe to y'all's account, create accounts, and all this other shit. And then you want to talk about, oh, you made this amount of money and this amount of money, but y'all don't ever really, like, put money into y'all's tech support. Like, I'm glad all you motherfuckers are getting lit off because y'all deserve it.
Oh, my God, Jerry.
Like, this Facebook, getting dark. Google, Instagram, fuck every one of you. And I hope you go under because this is not cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, not everybody has to be a Kim Kardashian for y'all to sit there and, like, respond to a fucking email. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of us just are just low on the totem pole. And
oh, you're speaking towards Instagram. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were. Okay.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about, like, just in general. Like, this is what irritates the shit out of me. Like,
yeah, four butts is a long time, but hopefully this guy comes through and we can put him on the payroll.
Right? I'm like,
listen,
I'm gonna have him hack into Mark's shit and just
we're gonna be exposing everybody on this new episode. You know what? He really a fuckboy.
you know what's so funny though, and I found it so fucking, like, not even coincidental, but think about this, right? First my Instagram gets deactivated, right? Which Instagram is connected to your Facebook. So all of a sudden let's see, we're on 19 days of my Facebook being, you know, so now I can't even appeal my Instagram because my Facebook is deactivated and they're now associated with one another. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, because the accounts are connected, like, they're just, it's like a double whammy. Even though I literally have these I have these fucking emails right here. Instagram, a message from Meta. Facebook, page published. And I'm like, yo, like, I literally have emails from each one of you telling me that my shit is being reinstated only for you to tell me that it's, you know, like, my shit's still disabled. I don't know. So, like I said, lay off all those motherfuckers on Facebook and Instagram. No, you know what?
Well, hopefully, he'll come through, right? He'll follow up and you'll get it back. And most importantly, we have somebody on the payroll when we need, hey, I need you to look this up for me. Hey, I need you to hack into this for me and I'm gonna get, you know what I mean? Ooh. I thought you were $50.
No, but you know, like, that's this is one of the reasons why I wish that Instagram and Facebook would offer, like, a paid subscription service where you could actually get assistance and shit. You know what I'm saying?
I thought they were doing that with the whole check, the blue check thing.
Well, no, that's for Twitter. But I don't know. I haven't been on Instagram. I haven't been on Instagram, so I don't know where this.
I think it's coming. I actually think they may have talked about it, or maybe making stuff up and getting it confused with Twitter. But
well, remember I told you, like, he literally, like, the hacker guy told me. He says hi. He goes, "Sir, I was able to trace your account on the server." He goes, "But it won't give me let me have full control because it needs me to clear the violations on your account." And, you know, he needed an API. He goes, "The violations are nudity and people kept on reporting on your account." He goes, "I think a lot of people are jealous of your sexuality and how free you are with it." And I'm just like, how is this man getting more information than the people who actually, you know, run the motherfucking platform?
Actually, who is it? I'm a line them the fuck up. We go message all of them. You a hater.
Yep. And I'm going to let every one of you know who reported my account. I hope your mother dies in front of you, you bastard.
Oh, shit. Gio, goddamn, bro.
Oh, yeah.
You just take it too far. Well, I think that's pretty much it. We've covering on this episode 7, so we're releasing episode 6 and 7 Tuesday, 9 a.m. Yeah, I think we covered everything. We're up to speed. As far as the next speaker, that's still in the works. I'm not sure. I haven't really scouted just because I have a lot going on in life. But we'll see.
Next topic we need to talk about, and like just keep it real. It's like levels of energy. Like, I know it sounds so vague, but like the reality is, like, you ever wake up one day and you're at like at 70%, right? And then all of a sudden throughout the day you're just like boop, 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 you know what I'm saying? And like, it's just like people don't understand, like, there's a lot of levels and energy to this shit that I'm starting to understand even more as I get older. Like, damn, man, like, it don't matter how much you try to sleep, how much water do you try to drink, like, sometimes you're just tired and you have really no say so in it, you know?
Yeah, no, seriously. I think that's emotionally drained more than anything. And then that kind of speaks to your physical.
Well, some people say that we're like plants, you know, and we require water and sunlight. So when there isn't any sunlight, you don't, you know?
Not me. I require soda and I bloom in the dark and dank. I bloom among gloom.
What is it? What?
Dyslexia kicked in. But yeah, I think that's it. I don't know if you have any announcements, anything coming up, anything you want to speak about.
You know what? I'm going to start taking my Adderall again. Excuse me. I'm going to start taking some Addies. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up early in the morning, pop an Addy, and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
I just really need... I feel like...
You're not... You feel... Did you... Focus?
I don't feel focused. I feel like I'm at a peaking point where, like, I'm trying to figure all this shit out, but I don't have, like, clarity, and that's what I need. I feel like I just need the clarity. But I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I might be going back home next month for a weekend or a week or whatever. Just because, like, I don't know. Like, maybe I feel like I just need – I haven't been back since August, you know? And I just – I don't know. Like, I think I need my mom. You know?
Aw. No, that's real. Sometimes you need your – You just need your mom to hug you. You need to be around her.
So, to speak of death, actually, there's this one episode I was watching yesterday, and I had to replay it. So, do you ever watch, or have you ever watched The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air by chance?
Like the new one?
No. Sorry, the 90s one with Will Smith.
Yeah, but it's been a while.
So, there was season 2, I think it was like episode 2 or something like that, or 3. Mm-hmm. And this grandma, right, like it's Uncle Phil's mother. And in the first season, they introduced his mom and his dad, and like they came from like the country hick background or whatever, right? So anyway, so in season 2, they brought back the grandma, but they killed off his father. I don't know why, if that was part of the plot line or maybe the actor wasn't available or whatever. So there was this one part where she says this, and because she's talking to her son, Uncle Phil, because, like, you know, she went on a date the night before with the gardener or something like that, right? Like, you know, he happened to like be there when she first arrived. They hit it off, and then like he caught them kissing in the kitchen or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So like he comes up to her, he's just like, he goes, "Mama," he goes, "how is it so quick?" He goes, "like, how is it so easy for you to forget about dad?" She goes, "honey," she goes, "I never forgot about your dad." She goes, something about like the house that they grew up in or whatever, right? Like the, you know, she goes, "some days it's easy to remember, and sometimes it's hard to realize that he's no longer there." But she said this one line, and I swear to God, like, I just remember like looking at Zach and almost started crying or whatever, right? She goes, She goes, I loved your father. She goes, but I'm angry. She goes, I'm angry at him because he promised he would never leave me. And as soon as she said that, because, you know, I'm assuming he died of health complications in the episode or whatever. Like, yeah. The actress, she nailed it in how she said it. She was just like, I'm angry. I'm angry at him because he promised me he would never leave me. And I was like, whew. You know, so when you talk about getting, older or whatever, right? Like, she was clearly in her 60s, like, you know, maybe early 70s. And I'm like, that's also like just the constant realization as you get older that like everybody around you is not going to be here the next day or the next year or the next decade. So
or the next month, yeah.
Mm-hmm, like, you know, that's one of the things too that I do fear too is like as you get older and as you have these kids and as you, you know, make these life decisions and plans and all that stuff, like how do you process not having your partner here no more? You know, like not just your partner, but your day one, your brewski or whatever you want to call them, right? Like, how do you process it? Like, and that's also something that has had me, like, you know, what happens if Zachary and I have kids and one of us, you know, is first to go? Like, how do I continue to raise our kid or how does he continue? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's just something you learn as you go, right? It comes with time. It's a wisdom money can't buy. You know, it's just as you grow older and you evolve, I think that's where you find the strength from within and you kind of just let go of the stuff that you can't control because that's really what it is. It's control. I'm learning that in a therapy. I'm actually reframing my life off of Maslow's hierarchy of needs and bringing this up because you spoke about Uncle Phil was like, damn, you hit it off with the gardener and you're like going out and doing all this stuff. So like on the hierarchy of needs for Maslow, at the very, very bottom, it's called the psychological needs, right? So that's like air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, and even sex.
Mm-hmm.
Sex is the bare minimum. I'm so glad that like my therapist recommended me looking at that pyramid and kind of reframing my mind and my life after it because I always thought that sex was something where it's like I hold so sacred, right? But it's a need. It's a need. It's something that you have to get sometimes, that that touch, that warmth, that physical feeling from someone else and just getting off and then going home. You know, because I used to attach sex to
emotion.
Yeah, where I had to learn that that's not the case. And I'm really glad that she talked to me about that pyramid because I'm really reframing my mind on situations like that. It's not that. Like, if you break up with the love of your life, right? Or they break up with you or they die or something happens where you guys can no longer be together. Grieving looks different for everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't put... Oh, God, my microphone almost dropped. Sorry. you can't tell someone how to grieve or how to move on when the basic fundamental psychological need is food, sleep, warmth, shelter, sex. So... You know, this is a great place to leave off because I want a lot of the listeners, a lot of our fatties to really just, if that resonates with you or maybe you've been, you know, going through something or you're, I don't know, like you're moving on or you're going through a break, think about that because I'm not going to lie, Gio, like before that, I used to judge a lot of people and how they moved on. I'm not going to lie to you. I did. I'm like, wait, what? It ain't even been a month and you're already like on right. Grindr? You know what I mean? But no, it's a psychological need. And your hand sometimes just doesn't do it. I mean, so, okay, if we're going to get specific here, masturbation is also part of that, right? But again, it looks different for everyone. Sometimes your hand is not enough. So.
Well, it's also human nature to create even want physical, you know, in any kind of form, not even just sexual. It could just be like someone just looking across at you and just saying, hey, a connection. You look really pretty today. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that, you know, I don't think that anybody should ever tell somebody how they should respond to how they quote unquote, you know, try to pick up the pieces. This shit's hard, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This shit's fucking hard.
It's really hard. And there's no book, there's no manual, there's no guide for this. You're going to do it however you see fit, however you feel. So, keep doing that. I champion that. Of course, you know, don't harm anybody. Don't harm yourself, you know, within reason. But grieving looks different for everyone. So, yeah, it's called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. If anybody's interested in looking that up or reading up on it, like, and you can always reach out to me, too. But yeah, no, that's it. I don't know if, I don't know, should we leave off with a quote or was that good enough? I don't know who did the quote last time.
I don't remember either. Let me see. Let me look at some Kanye West quotes. I'm sure.
I mean, I got one here ready. So if you want.
Go ahead. You can do it. And I'll do it next time.
All right. Okay. So one day, everything will come to an end and you will taste every fruit of your deeds.
Mm. Pineapple.
You just have, to fucking make it nasty. Pineapple. Piña. Piña. Piña colada. I like pina coladas. I'm basic. Yeah. Virgin and alcoholic. All right. Well, that's it. Let's wrap it up. And wrap it up.
Right. Because what did Lil Wayne say? I wasn't saying
Lil Wayne said a lot. Pussy money weed. Pussy money weed. That's what Lil Wayne said. Pussy money weed.
He's like my cologne was pussy money weed.
yeah. All right. All right, fatties. Well, we're out. Till next time. Peace, love, and cinema.
All right. Bye.